Glad to have you guys here today. Got a few announcements to make. Church Council meets this Tuesday at 6:30, so if you're a part of that, please be there at that time. Valentine's Banquet, there's a sign-up sheet for the Valentine's Banquet. Please write your name on there and the number of people in your party who might be coming. It's going to be on Friday, February 11th at 6:30 right here. Similar to, you know, those of you that came to the Christmas party, be similar setup for that. And there's a sign-up sheet there. Make sure you use it. And I'm pretty excited. I see Captain and Tennille have signed up. They might be singing Muskrat Love, yes.
They're bringing three.
There's them and the muskrat. Yeah. But anyway, so I'm pretty excited about that. Maybe they'll do some music for us, too, while they're here as well. So I hope you guys are willing to give up some of your time, you know, for them. Somehow I think they'll probably make the same appearance Bobby Flay did for our monthly meal. You know, he flamed out, you know, so I wouldn't hold my breath on the Captain and Tennille. So I think one of them's dead anyway, right?
And it is.
But anyway, please sign up for that. We haven't really talked about it in church council yet, but typically we supply the meat and you guys bring the goodies. So I just figure that's the way it's going to be. So we will be supplying the meat part. Usually it's chicken and carne asada or something like that, and then you guys bring whatever salad, side dish, dessert, whatever it might be. You bring. Most of the studies resume this week. So on Wednesday, I'll be doing something online, usually around noonish, sometimes a little before, sometimes a little after, depending on my schedule. But I'll be resuming on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, the men's Bible study resumes. The prayer meeting resumes at 5:45, men's Bible study at 7. The ladies' Bible study resumes a week from Tuesday, the 18th. And you don't like the ladies' meeting? Or
no, just one less person in the house.
he admit that?
That's what I meant. He's canceled.
It sounded like a boo, though. Boo. And I am told you guys are starting, those of you that go to this, starting at Psalm 91. So you'll be picking up with Psalm 91. So be there for that. That's a week from Tuesday. Not this Tuesday. If you come this Tuesday, you can come to the council meeting, but you know there won't be a ladies group. Okay. So, but the following Tuesday. Spiritual Gift Workshop. There's a sign up for that. That's the 22nd from 9 to 3. And we do have a couple signed up for that. So good, good. No, it's not the captain and Tennille, although I think it's him. I think he could probably tell us some spiritual stuff right now. But one way or the other. But at any rate, yeah, that's there. The sign-up's there. And that's the 22nd, which is a Saturday. Then at the end of the month, on the last Sunday of the month, the 30th, we will have our quarterly business meeting. And that will be a kind of a year in review, you know, final everything having to do with the church business will be reviewed at that meeting, and that'll be right after the service. And have I forgotten anything or anything I need to add? Or oh, that's on there too, and I blew right by it. The youth are doing a fundraiser. And they're going to do it for the Ballantine Banquet. And they have these baskets. You can see them. They're back on the baptistry. By the way, you can see we have moved some stuff around. We moved the baptistry to the back, and it really opened it up here a lot. So it's really nice. Dave has a place to stand now. But at any rate, that the youth have these baskets. And so you can buy a raffle ticket. Or hopefully many raffle tickets, one for $1 or 35 for $20. So at any rate, there's a variety of prices there in your bulletins. So if you want to help out our youth, a lot of that goes to camp and things like that. So buy some raffle tickets. There's some really nice baskets back there. All right. Today's verses, Matthew chapter 8, 28 through 34, very interesting passage. And, I'll just save it for the message. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, I guess, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Are you come to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, "If you cast us out, allow us to go away into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to those possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him that he would leave from their land. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you today and just ask your blessing on this message, Lord. And Father, a message concerning demon possession, concerning Satan's workings in this world. And Father, you know the difficulty we have about talking about such things, and the difficulty I even had in preparing this, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that even now your Spirit would be strong here today, that he would manifest himself in a mighty way, Lord, that the truth of your word would go forth. And Father, I pray that even now you would bind Satan and keep him from this place. And Father God, that your glory, that you would shine above all things, as should be. And Father God, I ask you now to bless the music, bless the teaching, bless the preaching, all that goes on in here today, Lord. May it be glorifying to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Cold enough for everybody? It's been beautiful this last week, huh? No. There's a reason the shutoff valves for the water hose are 4 feet in the ground. All right. We are getting ready for the Easter special. So if you're interested in coming out and singing with us, there's no list up there. Just come see Kathy or me, and we'll put your name down. You can come on out and sing with us. We haven't got it yet, but get ready for it. Because it's just around the corner. All right. Sing with us.
Be made stronger in the
Stand now and greet somebody. Tell them it's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Morning.
Number three.
Morning.
He's lost for words.
Not even.
Not.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil have victory when there's wonderful power in the blood?
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb.
Could you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin's things are lost in this blood-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood.
power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In power, in the precious blood of the Lamb.
One more time.
In the precious blood of the Lamb.
My righteousness, oh God.
find it. Hang on.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old hole inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, He's a chain breaker. We all search for the light of day in the dead of night. We all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We all run the things we know just ain't right. Yeah, the better life, there's a better life. If you got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, He's a chain breaker. You believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it and you receive it, if you can't feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, He's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, He's a chain breaker.
Title of this is Satan's Workings, and I'm going to show a video here in a second. It's about 7 minutes or a little more than 7 minutes, and it's an older video. It's probably made in the 90s, and technology has probably come a long way from when this gentleman presents this aspect or this technology that was going on at the time. But because I want to relate, you know, Satan, you know, we have this passage where these guys are demon possessed, and you know, our culture is not super familiar with this. It doesn't mean that Satan isn't possessing people or demons aren't, because they are. But we're just not spiritually sensitive to a lot of this stuff. And what I wanted, even though this is a passage from 2,000 years ago, Satan is still working. He's been working all through the ages, and he's working now. And so I just want to try and relate the two, and hopefully I'll be able to. And as I indicated earlier, I had some trouble with this. It was just a lot of opposition. And I've found every time you come to a passage in the Bible that kind of highlights Satan, he doesn't like that because he likes to keep us in the dark. He's darkness. God is light. And he wants to keep us in the dark because the more we know about him, the better equipped we are to resist him, to recognize him when he's doing things, and that we can take our stand. And so any time, if you preach as I preach, which is not topically, I just preach verse by verse, eventually you're going to run into verses that like these. And that's when I always feel the most opposition, and it was no exception this week. And so all that to say, and I'm not saying that to, you know, I'm just saying it's real. And he's at work now just like he was 2,000 years ago in this account here. But I'm going to step aside and let this play. And it says it's about a guy that was ahead of a team that developed a chip that can be implanted in the head or the forehead, in the hand or the forehead.
My responsibility was project leader or the senior project engineer. We begin to work on the design of a microchip that, when it was completed, was 0.75 millimeters in diameter, 7 millimeters long. It was the size of 1/4 of a grain of rice. Again, I want to say that I was not a Christian and there were no Christians there. They said they wanted this to have a power source and be able to emit a signal. And they told us they wanted us to use lithium as a battery source. Lithium's used in watch batteries. It's used in heart pacemaker batteries. It's used in a lot of places. I designed into this microchip a little charging circuit that would charge that battery. This sounds like a lot of technical things coming together, but if you'll bear with me 1 minute, you'll see what God has laid out about this microchip. When we discovered that we needed to be able to charge that battery, I needed a temperature change, a change in temperature, to cause current to flow through that little charging circuit that would charge the battery. So we began to investigate and find out where in the body does the temperature change the most rapidly. We spent over $1 million in taxpayer money, and when the results came back, there was a lot of information. We divided it up amongst three teams and then came back together with that information. It was determined that there were two places in the body that were ideal for the microchip. One was just below the hairline on the forehead. Every mother checks their child's temperature right here. So we could have paid the mothers $1 million and saved them. I never saw a mother check their child's temperature on their ankle. Always right here. The other place was the hand, the right hand preferred, because most people are right-handed. This didn't bother me, and it didn't bother anybody else on the team. The hand seemed a good place. Nobody wanted it here. And so the design work, everything was completed. The microchip was done. You're seeing it now on some of the Discovery Channel presentations. There are people who have received it already. It is real. It's not something that's coming way down the road. They gave me a Bible. They told me not to read the book of Revelation. They said the book of Revelation is too hard to understand. So I waited, and I didn't read the book of Revelation for quite some time. Then one day I came to Revelation 13, verse 16. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. I didn't like what I saw. I went back and looked up the word mark. I went to the Strong's Concordance. And I found that John had used three words for the word mark. Charagma, charicater, and charax. That was from the Greek. I looked at those words. They talked about a scratch or an etching. They talked about a lot of things. And I said, God, this isn't it. We didn't do it. He said, go to the word for 666. The word is chixastigma. In the Greek, it says to go to 4742 as a cross. The last half of the word chixastigma. And when I looked at what it said, it says stizo, i.e. to stick, to prick, a mark incised or punched into for recognition of ownership. I thought about the little injection tool. The end of it is called an incisor. I began to weep and I began to cry and I said, oh God, what have we done? I couldn't believe that this lined up with what we had developed. And I began to run from God. I didn't run away from the church. I ran into the church. I tried to do as many things as I could to atone for this. But I want to tell you something. As God is my witness here tonight, this got in the way. Money got in the way. I had beautiful homes overlooking the lake. I had all the things that I wanted. And I ran because of the money. My ability to go and get $250,000 in research money took me away from telling the message. I ran for many years. What I want to tell you is that this is real. The microchip implant is real. Credit cards are failing. They can be counterfeited. The new smart card can be counterfeited. They can be stolen. They can be lost. All kinds of things can happen to a card. But you cannot lose your hand. Very quickly, they're going to move to this being in the hand. And I tell you as a Christian, you cannot take this. No matter what anybody says, God's Word says you cannot take it. No matter what they try to talk you into, God's Word says don't take it. In Revelation 14, verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. It's very simple. God's Word says do not take it. Today there have been over 15,000 babies that have been given the positive identification, the microchip. Many companies are using the microchip as identification in their top-level employees. The Immigration Naturalization Service has a better passport, the human hand. So many of these things are all around us. We talk about the signs of the New World Order. God has spelled out in His Word just exactly what's going on today in the New World Order. Satan desires to have a one-world government. From the time he fell, he said, I want a one-world government. He wants to replace God. And so we see a government put together by men, a one-world government. The signs of the times are all around us.
So that was, I think he was speaking to a audience that spoke a different language, and that's why it was broken up, because the gentleman next to him was translating, and that's what they were doing there. But so anyway, let's go into the scripture, because I'll end up tying the video back to it later. But Jesus, we're here in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, but Jesus has been demonstrating his deity, his power, in ways that had never been seen before. He's shown his authority and his power over disease, over the elements, even over those possessed with demons. And previously, Matthew simply said Jesus cast out spirits with his word. And you can see that in verse 16 of the same chapter that I preached on a couple of weeks ago. It says, when the evening came, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Okay, and that's all it says. But in this account, we get a close-up of what this actually looks like. And what, you know, demonic possession is ugly. But it is real. And this account is very short, obviously. It's seven verses. But there's a parallel account. So if you have a Bible and you want to follow more deeply, Mark chapter 5, 1 through 20 is a parallel account. It's the same account, but just with more detail. And I'm going to be going back and forth. I'm going to have the verses from Mark that I want to talk about on the screen. I will have that. But I just want you to know that's you know, I'm kind of using both these passages for the purpose of this message, and because Mark gives so much more detail. But what we see, let's just get right into it. Verse 28, we see the condition of these guys, and he says, and when he came into the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And so here's two guys, they're demon possessed. And they're living in the tombs. They're, you know, hanging out in the cemetery. You know, let's just make it modern. They're hanging out in the cemetery. And anytime anybody comes by, they jump out there and they're not, I'm not going to let you by. Or I'm not going to let you come and, you know, dress the grave or, you know, whatever it is business you might have there. I'm going to keep you from doing this. And that's what these guys were doing. And their condition was one of possession. And that word possessed by devils or possessed with devils. It means to be violently possessed or in the power of a demon. And anytime you see accounts of this, these people are violent. They're unreasonable. You can't reason with them. These men, they're naked. They're immensely strong. They're uncontrollable. They spend night and day in the mountains and the tombs. And they cry out in the night and they cut themselves. Now, you know, we see a lot of problems with people cutting themselves these days, don't we? You know, and I believe, you know, they may not be totally possessed, but I'm sure they are at the very least oppressed. Okay? It's demonic. And let me just be clear right up front. I don't believe a Christian can be possessed. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, if you're truly saved, the Holy Spirit is there and Satan cannot be there too. Okay, I believe that. But a Christian can be oppressed to the extent, if you, and I'll be getting into this later, but if you allow yourself to go down a road, you can become so oppressed that nobody could tell the difference whether you were possessed or oppressed. I believe that. And that's why sometimes Christians do some pretty horrific stuff. And I'm not here to judge their heart, you know, whether they are actually saved or not. I'm just saying if we open ourselves up to things, we can be oppressed by Satan as well. But let's look at Mark, gives us a little bit. This is Mark chapter 5, and I got the reference on your sheet there. But Mark chapter 5, 2 through 5, it says, when he came out of the ship, this is Jesus, when he landed. Remember, he was on the other side, and all the crowds were following him. And he says, let's go to the other side. And he stopped for a minute, you know, and dealt with two guys that wanted to follow him and all that. And he dealt with that, and they went across, and they had the storm. And he calmed the storm, and now they get to the other side. And it says, when he came out of the ship, immediately, immediately met him out of the tombs, a man. Now, Mark says a man. And if you look it up in Luke, it says a man. But when you read it in Matthew, it says two men. So do we have a problem here? Not really. I believe there was two guys because Matthew said, I believe Mark and Luke were focusing on the lead guy. I think one of these guys was way more vocal or whatever. He was kind of the leader of the two. It's just like if I said, John and Joanne and Abby and Judy were here today and I talked with them. That doesn't mean all you guys weren't here. It just means I'm telling a story about what I dealt with them. And you guys are here. Okay? So Matthew spoke that there was two guys that came out, but Mark and Luke are talking about the guy that apparently Jesus had this conversation with. All right? So don't get all, some people look for things in the Bible to make it sound like, it's not consistent. But just because I don't say that all you people were here doesn't mean you weren't here. Okay? So just kind of clear that up. So immediately met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. And neither could any man tame him. Okay, they couldn't bind him, they couldn't reason with him, they couldn't control him. And it says, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So here we have the condition of this guy. Now, what I want you to know today, this is going to be a little lesson, a little micro lesson, on the world is not spiritually discerned. Okay, we need to understand that. The world will just say this guy was insane. All right? And so we have insanity or mental illness versus demon possession. All right? And I believe demon possession is often confused with insanity in our world today. Or mental illness. Now, do I believe that somebody can be mentally ill? Yes, I do. Because, the brain is an organ. Just like your heart's an organ. Things can go wrong with your heart or your liver or your kidneys. Things can go wrong with your brain too. It's organic. Things can go wrong for a variety of reasons. That doesn't make you possessed. All right, so let's look at this a little bit. So the mentally ill, here's a definition. And I don't expect you to copy all this down. You can watch the thing later, or whatever if you really want to get this. And it's very minute, I'm sure. There's books written on it. I'm just giving you a basis here. But it's basically, if you're not mentally ill, if you're not, and you're not possessed either, you're just a normal person, okay? You have the ability to see yourself as a distinct personality with mental, emotional, volitional power. And volitional power means you do what you want to do. You're able to choose, I will do this. To pick up this controller and push the button for the next slide, that's a volitional power. I wanted to do that, so I did it. And we also recognize moral responsibilities. Well, a person that's mentally ill, their mental, emotional, volitional power, their ability to see morally, is impaired or lost. They don't see things right. Okay? The power to originate rational response is lost as a result of, and here's a few causes, disease, vices, or shock. So, for instance, when someone starts getting dementia or Alzheimer's, you try to reason with them. And I've met people like this in the course of me working at Sears. I met thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people over the years I worked. And some of them I ran into pretty quickly. I recognized they're not responding right. And then I come to find out they had dementia or they had Alzheimer's or something. It's a disease. They're not possessed. They just can't respond in a way that makes sense to you. They don't make sense. And there's other symptoms as well, but I'm just keeping it simple for this. And so a disease can do this. Or a vice. Somebody that has abused drugs or alcohol or something like that. I had a friend in high school. He was young. And he did so many drugs. Man, he just wasn't there. His brain function was not right. And he was just a young man. He wasn't even 18. And so our vices can cause this kind of thing. Or a traumatic shock of some sort. Sometimes somebody goes through something so horrific, they're just never the same again, and they just don't deal well, with reality or whatever because of this. That's not demon possession. Okay? That's just mental illness. There's something has happened. But then, so what is demon possession? Demon possession is an evil intelligence that gains control of a person's consciousness. There is a breakdown of rational behavior caused by the presence of a superior and intelligent form of evil. And both the mental faculties, in other words, how they think, and their bodily members, okay, what they do, okay, they are seized and controlled by this. There is often evidence in a demon-possessed person. There is often evidence of personalities. Okay, sometimes the words and actions, they seem quite normal. They seem to come, from the human part of that person. But then all of a sudden, something happens, and now it's like it's another person. Well, that's because it is. It's a demon. It comes from the demonic source. The dominant demoniac was possessed by many demons. You can converse with the demon right through the person. In fact, Jesus asks him his name. So this is the account in Mark chapter 5, verse 6 through 9. It says, when he saw Jesus afar off, look at this, he gets out of the boat. This guy is in the tombs. He's possessed. He's ripping off the things, and they can't control him. It says, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. That's interesting. Do demons worship Jesus? I think the guy that was in there, I think the demon recognized Jesus, and therefore the guy recognized him from the demon. That's just what I believe. And he comes and worships him. But then he cries with a loud voice, what do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? He says, I beg you by God, don't torment me. For he said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. So apparently, we're learning something here. Apparently, they consider it torment when they're not in somebody or in something. They kind of have a need to be controlling somebody, apparently. Because Jesus said, come out. And so they're like, don't torment us this way. And he says to him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, there's been a lot of talk about what all that meant. But one thing we do know for sure, a legion in Rome was 6,000 people, 6,000 men. Now, if this guy had 6,000 demons, he was definitely in a bad way. But you know what? If he only had one demon, he was definitely in a bad way. So there was this conversation that took place. You're able to talk to the demon through the person. And I've seen, there's a book called The Bondage Breaker. I don't know if any of you have read that, but it talks about the guy would come and he'd talk to a person, and the guy would answer him, and he goes, no, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the demon, and then the demon would answer. And that's why the world would just say this guy's insane. Because they don't get it. But we can. We can understand it. So we go from the condition. That was the condition of this guy. And the other guy, too. The other guy might not have had legion in him, but this guy did. So then we see the confrontation. Because Jesus confronts this. You know, we need not be afraid. I mean, if you're saved. Now, you need to have respect. Because Satan has power. Okay? And if you're trying to stand in your power, you lose. Okay? But if you're there and you're under God's will and you're confronting this, you know, according to the Lord and all that, you're fine. But he says, behold, they cried out, and it's kind of an overlapping thing. Cried out, what do we have to do with you? This is the Matthew account. It's very similar to Mark, of course. You son, Jesus, Son of God, have you come to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding, saying, so the devils besought him or begged him, if you cast us out, allow us to go into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Look, they came out of the tombs. They saw it was Jesus, and they changed their tune. You know, they were going to come out, because what did it say earlier? Anybody that came by that way, they were going to do, you know, they were going to, you know, attack them or whatever, drive them out of there. But when they saw it was Jesus, they changed their tune. They know who he is, but they don't want anything to do with him. How many people in the world are like that? How many people in our country is like that? They know who he is and what he will do to them one day. That's what they said. It's not our time. Unfortunately, demons know and believe more about Jesus than many people do. They ask Jesus' permission to enter the swine. Do you understand they recognize Jesus' authority? How much do we recognize Jesus' authority? Or the authority of the Word of God? The demons do. Isn't it interesting? I mean, demonic things scare us, and you know, and I think rightfully so. I mean, it is scary, and I've confronted people, and I won't say that. You know, I'm not going to say that's my favorite thing to do. Okay, I'd much rather just preach a nice word about salvation or something like that, you know, or be in a fellowship like we had the Christmas party, you know, the other night, and. And that was a lot of fun, and you know, and I'd much rather do that, okay? But listen, we need not be afraid. Do you understand? The demons could not even hurt a pig without his permission? They could not. Now you say, well, how come he was in the guys? Well, those guys opened themselves up. And I'll get into that in a little bit. They opened themselves up, and Satan moved in. And God allowed it because you know what? He allows us to reap what we sow. If you play with fire, you will get burned. But here we see, you know, they're just completely evil. Jesus is not going to let them hurt them anymore. Jesus is casting them out. Okay? But they still, at least we want to do some damage, so we're going to, we want you to send us into these pigs, Jesus. And Jesus allows them to do so. Now, these pigs are valuable. Somebody's herding these pigs, as we will read. And somebody owns these pigs. And there's 2,000 of them, by the way. This is not like a couple of, you know, in New Mexico, we used to go by people's houses, and they'd have four or five pigs, you know. whatever. I mean, this, you know, and that was smelly, and then you drive by their house, you knew they had pigs. But all that to say, that's what they did. But I can't even imagine 2,000. Now, I was probably in the middle of a herd of 2,000 sheep, and they were pretty smelly, too. Got to admit. We had to turn off the air conditioner and roll up the windows in the car. You know, it was all these sheep are all around us, and we're on a road. You know, there's a bunch of guys on horseback driving sheep right down the road. My son goes, only in New Mexico. But anyway, all that to say, 2,000 is, you know, if you own 2,000 animals, that's a lot of money right there. That's an investment. And we know what? We can't hurt these guys anymore because you're casting it out, so we want to hurt the owners. And interestingly enough, Jesus allows them to do it. Okay, go. And when they went, they jumped in those pigs. And I think the pigs would rather die than be possessed. Because they just ran down the hill, over the cliff, into the water and drowned. Smart pigs. Yeah, smarter than some people. 2,000 pigs drown and the men are restored. Look at this. And they came to Jesus. And so what happened was the keepers that we read about, well, we haven't read about them yet. I'm jumping ahead a little, but because these things overlap. But they came to Jesus. So what happened was the keepers of the pigs went into town and said, this Jesus character cast out the demons out of these guys, and they went in the pigs. The pigs killed themselves. The whole town comes out to see him. And it says they came, and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed. That's why we know they were naked, because now they got, they made a point of it. Hey, they got clothes on now. Okay? Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And that word afraid means they were in awe of Jesus. They were in reverence to Jesus. They weren't like scared. They were like, oh man. Kind of like the disciples on the waves, right? What kind of guy is this that can speak and still the storm? Well, they're like, what kind of guy is this that cast these out and, you know, did this stuff? You know, Satan always pursues the destruction of people any way he can. Ultimately taking your life. But he wants to destroy your livelihood. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy anything about you. You need to understand that. It's not just about your soul. You know, if you're saved, he can't have your soul. It's already sealed by God. What's in God's hand, no one can pluck out, not even Satan. But he can still try and destroy your life. He can still try to ruin your testimony so you can't impact anybody else. And he still tries to does that. He still tries to do that. But part of the problem, too, is a lot of people think, I've heard a lot of Christians say this, and I probably said it too at one time in my ignorance, but like, well, he doesn't really bother unsaved people. Because he's already got them. That's not true. He hates all people. I mean, if he doesn't bother unsaved people, why was he in these two guys? They were unsaved. They didn't know him. I remember, you know, as a teenager in high school, Satan was after me. I didn't know it. I was ignorant. I was just having fun. I was just partying and doing the things I do. And I did some things I'm not proud of. But I had one particular quote-unquote friend who was really not my friend. I look back on it. At the time, I thought he was my friend. I get over to his house, and he wants to offer me this stuff for free. And I come to find out later it was heroin. But there was something, I don't know why I didn't go that route. I don't know why that I did not fall for it, because I really didn't think he wanted to hurt me. I thought he was just being my friend. Here, try some stuff. But God protected me. I look back on it. That's the only thing I can figure. So I found out later what it was, because he didn't present it as that way. And you know what? That's what Satan does. He's a deceiver. He doesn't present the truth. He presents you with just enough of the truth to get you to bite. But he is just as much trying to kill the unsaved as he is the saved. Guaranteed. So don't fall for that lie. But then we come to the choices, and there were a lot of choices being made. In 33 and 34 of Matthew chapter 8, it says, and then they that kept them, in other words, the keepers of the pigs, the swine, they went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him that he would depart. Isn't that interesting? The keepers go into town. They report what happened. The whole town comes out. They want to meet him, but they don't have any affection for him. They don't desire to know him. Their greed has made them willing to be rid of him. You've hurt my pocketbook. You killed my herds. You know, why didn't they invite him into their city? Why did they not bring out their sick to be healed? Or maybe there were some others with demons that needed to be cleansed of the demon that was in them. And instead, they asked him to leave. Look at this. This is back to Mark again. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Because, you know, anytime you talk to God, you're praying. How many times has Americans prayed God out of their coasts? We kicked him out of the schools. Kicking him out of government. Separation of church and state. Right? We're praying. You know, we're talking to God. We're talking to someone they don't even believe in, so they say. And yet they fight tooth and nail not to mention him. And if you don't believe, you know, if you say, you know, some dude exists, and I don't believe he exists, and you say, oh, you know, I'm going to blah, 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 and I'm like, well, why does that bother? Why would that bother me when I know that's just a lie? But man, it bothers them. They don't seem to have a problem with Muhammad or Buddha or Krishna or fill in the blank. But boy, they got a problem with Jesus, don't they? They asked him to leave. And so he did no miracle there other than with those two guys. They made their choice. But it's, you know what's interesting? These guys are Jews. This is not the Samaritans. This is not, you know, Syrians or whoever else was in that day and age. These were Jewish people that had pigs. And if you know about Jewish culture, pigs are forbidden. You're not supposed to have them. Isn't that interesting? But they made their choice. And unfortunately, there are many who prefer their swine before their Savior. There are many who prefer their swine before their Savior. And in so doing, they fall short of salvation. These were Jews. They were familiar with the scriptures, I guarantee you. They were familiar with the temple and all that went on there. And they were familiar with all the things of God. And yet, they preferred their swine before the Savior. And they fell short of salvation. How did these people get where they were? See, we got to learn something here, folks. We got to learn something. You know, these guys, they did not end up... I mean, listen, having swine was a big deal. We look at it like, oh, you know, okay, they had pigs. Listen, in that culture, that's huge. How did they get there? How did they get from, you know, little kids going to the temple, reciting the Torah and all the stuff that they did? They knew these verses well. So how'd they get there? Because, you know, take heed, lest ye fall, you know. You know, we are not any better than them. We can be deceived. We can make bad choices. We can do a lot of things that we're not supposed to do. Satan's workings are always rooted in deception. And he likes to trap us gradually. And I want you to look at this one verse, Psalm 1:1. Here it is. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. This is Psalm 1, verse 1. And there's a progression here. This is exactly how Satan does it. And it works. That's why he does it. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, at first, you know, we're walking, and supposedly for the Christian, we are walking with God. We are walking in this world, but we are trying to walk according to the Scriptures. But you know what? We are commanded to be in the world, not of it, but in it. We're to be shedding light. We're to be affecting things for the kingdom of God here. But what happens when we walk in the counsel of the ungodly, when we start listening to what unbelievers are saying, and you're walking, you're still trying to serve God, and you're walking, 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 but you keep hearing this stuff, hearing this stuff, hearing this stuff. And you know what? We are being fed a whole bunch of rubbish today in this world. And they're saying it over and over and over again. And the more they say it and repeat it and counsel, 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 people start buying into it. They're buying into it. They're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Are these godly people that are feeding us these lines? But look what the progression is. First, you're just listening, you're hearing, you're hearing, you're hearing. Now you're standing. You stopped walking. Now you're standing in the way of sinners, not in the way of the Lord. Now we're to be in the way of the Lord. We should stand in the house of God and be in the way of the Lord and those kind of things and listen to His counsel. But what Satan does the same thing God wants. You know, Satan's an imitator of God. Understand that. And we stand in the way of sinners. And so now we're standing with them. And then the next thing you know, you're sitting with them. You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. These people were sitting in the seat of the... Now, they're just, they've lost it. They're like, I'm just totally gone over to money. In this case, I mean, the herd was money. Hey, you know, the council was, hey, you know, you Jews, you know, you don't like pigs. Man, there's money to be made with pigs. There's a big, vast market for pigs out there. You know, just your little country doesn't eat them, but the rest of the world does. And then they stand there and they're thinking, man, you know, I could, you know, I'm not eating the pigs, so I'm still good. You know, and, you know, I might as well just sell them to someone else. I mean, I might as well take that filthy lucre and make it good lucre. You know, and I'll give my lucre to the temple. Make myself feel good. But then eventually they got to the place where they said, get out of here, to the Lord. They got to that place. And it was gradual. I guarantee you they didn't wake up one day and just did this. It was gradual. It always works in deception. That video. You know what this vaccine stuff is, right? It's not about health, folks. It's about conditioning so that when they want to put the chip in, you'll do it. That's how Satan works. And they keep giving us lies. Ungodly people are giving us lies. This is for your health. Really? They say, oh, the vaccines are safe and effective. Yeah, I'm going off on it. Are they? Are they effective? I don't even argue with you on safe. Are they effective? We got more of it going on right now. 60% of this country is vaccinated. But yet the rates of infection are higher now than they were before there was a vaccine. Shouldn't it at least be 60% less? I mean, hello? And what's their answer? More vaccines? Come on! Now, whether you get a vaccine or not, I really, you know, that's your decision. But, hello, it's not about health. In Australia, they are being herded. Pastors are being thrown in jail for having church services because they're not asking for verification. And if you post, they are arresting people and putting them in jail for posting that I'm against the vaccine. That's all they're saying. And they're being charged with inciting. And it's a nation of 25 million people. And you know how many people have died of COVID? 1,200. That's it. In that whole nation, 1,200 and some people have died. Out of 25 million, yet we're going to lock everybody down and throw them in the prison if they don't. This is not about health. This is an agenda. And it's ungodly people making decisions. And we have got to have our eyes open. This is spiritual. The world doesn't. That's why so many people are, they're sheep. Bah. Whatever you say, I'll do. But we are not them. And there's going to be a price to pay. If you're going to stand for your faith, there's going to be a price to pay. Jesus' power against Satan is unlimited. Except where our will is concerned. Because we have free will. And there will be some people that will make the choice to take the mark. It may be in a different form than what that guy described, but it's still the mark. And people will take it. They will make that choice. And that's not God's will. They will make that choice. And they will be doomed. Saved and unsaved alike. I mean, I think a truly saved person will not take it. And let me make it clear, the vaccine is not the mark. Okay? I know there's vaccinated people in this room. That's fine. It's not the mark. But it's coming. And this is part of the conditioning. This is the walking in the council and standing in the centers. And eventually they're going to get us to sit down and take the mark. That's the plan. Satan doesn't change. He doesn't have to change. His plans work. human nature feeds right into it. Fear is how he works. Why is everybody doing? Why is 1,200 people die in Australia, and they lock down 25 million people? It's fear, and that's what Satan works out of. Fear. The former, there's more choices made. The former demoniac wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus sent him to witness to his friends. Okay. When he came into the ship, okay, Jesus is done. They've asked him to leave, so he's leaving. And he that had been possessed with the devil prayed to him that he might be with him. I want to go with you, Lord. Well, at least he was in his right mind, wasn't he? But Jesus did not permit it. He said, no, I got a better job for you. You go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and had compassion on you. And isn't that not what we're supposed to do? You know, we're not here to solve all their problems, and we're here to tell what great things the Lord has done for us, and that, you know what? He had compassion on me. I mean, I had no reason he should have come after me. But I'm glad he did. I'm glad he had compassion. I'm glad he was patient. And he departed. And he began to publish in Decapolis. Decapolis is where they were at, that Gennesaret or whatever that place was. There's like 10 towns there. And that's why it's called Decapolis, Deca meaning 10. Okay, there was 10 cities there in that region. And he went about all those 10 cities and he published how great things Jesus had done for him. And men did marvel. And I'm sure he had a great testimony, because I'm sure everybody in that area knew that guy. They probably went by the cemetery once and got run off, you know. And then now here's this same guy. Whoa. What a testimony, huh? As Satan continues working in our world, and you know, he was working in our world in Jesus' day, and he's been working in our world all along, and he's working in our world right now. As he continues, we must carefully guard our choices and be faithful. You know, the only way you please God, faith. That's it. Believe what this word says. And be faithful to share what God, what Christ has done in our lives, that others might hear and believe. Our mandate does not change. In good times, bad times, hard times, easy times, mountaintops, valleys, palace or the prison, the mandate does not change. Share the gospel. Just share what he has done in you. Best testimony you'll ever have is your own. What he's done in me. That others might hear and believe. Because you know why? Choices matter. Choices matter. Might be someone here today, or maybe watching. I always forget that thing's on. But why did you watch today? Why did you come here today? I hope you have a desire to know Jesus. And I hope most of you, if not all of you, have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You've confessed your inadequacy to reach the Father apart from him. I hope you've done that. and asked Him to be your Lord and Savior. But there may be someone here, maybe someone watching, that maybe you've never done that. This world is rolling, folks. I mean, it's moving. And it's going down a path. And we need to be about the business of the Lord while it is day, because you know what? The night is coming when no one can work. That's what Jesus said. We need to be about that business. What we do is important, folks. The people we rub shoulders with, the people we come in contact with, it's important that they hear the truth. Right? If there's someone here or someone watching and you don't know the Lord, you've never experienced forgiveness from God, you need to do that. For the rest of us, I mean, I would be willing to say, I don't want to insult anybody, but I do. You might have some swine in your life. But I mean, is there something in your life you know it shouldn't be there? You know it is. You know it shouldn't be there. And it could be a big thing, or it might just be something that's just always there. And you know God's not pleased with it being there. Might be an attitude. Could be a deed. Could be, I don't know, a lot of things. Choices matter. What are you going to do with that? You going to ask God just to leave you alone in that area? That's what these guys did. But we should. This is your time. You have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today who would say, Brother Mike, I've never made that choice, the most important choice, and that is to ask God to forgive me on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I've never done that, and I need to do that. I recognize that today. Anybody like that? I just want to pray for you if that's so. As far as I know, everyone here has got a relationship with God through Christ, and I pray that that is true. For the rest of us, How many would say, Brother Mike, I've allowed some things to kind of get in the way of my walk with Christ, and I need prayer. Anybody like that? God bless you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I pray that you'd have the courage to lay it down at God's feet and Jesus' feet and just let Him have it. How many would say, I need wisdom in the choices I make as I go forward from this point on? I need some wisdom and just like some prayer about that. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. I see that. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray for these. Lord, I pray that all of us, the things in our life that kind of keep us from you, Lord, I pray we would just set them at your feet and walk away from them, Lord. Just dispense with them. It's just a tool. It's just Satan trying to wear us down. Give us eyes to see. I pray for those that may not know the Lord, Lord. They may not know you. And Father, I pray they would come to know you. And those of us that do know you, Lord, I pray that we would come to know you in a greater way, more complete way. Father, bless us as we ponder the things you've brought to our mind this morning. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. come before you and we are so grateful for the power that you have. We thank you, Lord, that Satan cannot stand against you. And Lord, that we've read how it will all end and how you will deal with him and all those that follow him. And Father, we praise you for that. But in the meantime, Father, as we await that day, Lord, give us strength. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and discernment to know what is your way and what is not. And give us courage to always choose your way, no matter what the cost is. And we will praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.